Knicks family, welcome back to the God Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. I'm here with, first of all, I haven't seen my brother on in a minute. First of all, it's been a minute since Andre Lil's been on the show with us because he's Mr. Busy over here. So shout out to Mr. Busy.
A little bit. Thank you, man. I'm happy to be back with the crew, man. I'm loving it out here with y'all, man.
Right. Happy to have you back, my guy. Happy to have you back. And of course, Joe. My guy always making it out no matter what's going on. He always found
I missed the last one. I feel bad. Yeah, I ain't linked with you guys in about 3 weeks, man. I feel bad.
You had some personal things going on, so
felt bad though, you know.
Don't worry about it. That's love.
I miss my guys, yo.
Don't worry about it, man. It's all good. We here for you. Don't worry. And special guest tonight, we have from Still Knicks fans, Ron and John.
Still.
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Chilling, man. Chilling.
Good. Good to see y'all. So, a lot has clearly been going on. I mean, not much. A lot of word in Knicks chat. There's nothing really solid besides for, you know, a few moves. Some not as good as others, but, you know, this is Knicks fandom, you know how that goes. But so basically, just wanted to get you guys on to see how you guys felt about what's been going on so far, and with Knicks news. So we can start with the move that everyone probably despised the most, of course, is the trade of Obi Toppin. How do you feel? Ron, you can start with you. How do you feel about the Obi Toppin move that happened?
Honestly, I mean, listen, I couldn't wait for it to happen. I wanted Obi out of here from day one.
What?
I don't know what's wrong with a lot of Knicks fans. They tripping. Obi has been a cancer.
I'm about to say, you wrong. Look at Joe's face. Joe, like.
I was like, what's happening here, man? I thought everybody loved Obi.
I didn't know how that was going to go. I was like, hey, what's up here?
When he said the cancer in the locker room, I was like, oh, he playing.
He did go after Tibbs though. So
yeah.
I'm actually I'm one of the few, but I'm one of those people that kind of been hoping that Obi was going to get busy with the Knicks. You know, I was just hoping that at one point there would be a time where he'd actually be able to get some good playing time and actually really step up and step into his role. But, you know, I also feel like this was going to happen eventually. It just happened a lot sooner than I expected. I thought that at some point the Knicks were going to let Obi go because they wasn't going to pay him the money. They've been paying money to other guys. But, you know, say what you will, for the most part, everybody they paid was worth the money. RJ is the only one that you may be like, you know, we want more from RJ.
Yeah.
But if still, look, I don't care what nobody says. If I have a choice between paying RJ or Obi, I'm paying RJ. Felt like at some point Obi was going to be up out of here. I was kind of shocked that it happened this way. I understand why they did it and didn't get anybody back because they wanted that trade exception, but they definitely could have got somebody. They could have got Duarte back if anything, but they chose to go a different route. It is what it is. I'm gonna miss Obi though, and I know he's gonna get busy in Indiana, but I will say I don't think he's gonna get as much playing time as you might initially expect. There's a lot of guys over there in Indiana. They got a lot of heads. So
yeah, that's one thing I was worried about. I'm like, is he really gonna get some of that playing time that he hasn't been getting here? Hopefully he does, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's that likely, but I mean, he'll get more. I think he'll get more regardless, you know what I mean, than he did here. But hopefully it's enough to his liking. I don't know. But how about you, John? How do you feel about it?
I mean, for me,
I think you're on mute, John, or the audio is not coming through.
I can hear it's a
low.
Little low.
You're low.
Still low.
Yeah, low. There you go.
I adjusted it earlier today.
It's getting low.
It's still coming in low.
All right, I'm gonna drop.
But why you can fix it, and I'll speak the way I think you would speak. So John would say that whatever Ron's saying sounds about right. I think that what Ron thinks is what I'm thinking.
It's the chemistry. Of course, man. I guess when he comes back, he'll give us his point of view.
Yeah.
Once he fixes his mic. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to the chat, man.
Izzy in here.
He said Ron's sipping on some tonight. He said, got him. My man Izzy said, got him. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to everybody in the chat. So, yeah, man. Of course, my opinion on the move was always that of, I wanted to see Obi flourish, whether it was here or anywhere. You know what I mean? I didn't want him to sit on the bench again for another, just being regulated to 10 minutes a game on another, for another whole season. You know what I mean? And I didn't see it changing. As long as Julius is here, that's pretty much all you're going to get, unfortunately. But, John... Hopefully it's all good.
Am I good now? Still bad?
It's a little low, but I think we can work with it.
It's a lot low.
Real quick, let me just adjust the microphone volume. How about now?
Oh yeah, it's getting better. It's a lot better. Yeah.
How about now?
Better.
I think that's the best I could get it right now.
All right, that's fine. We'll take it.
Nah, that's still low, Kev. I can't hear.
Still low?
You can't hear him?
I hear his voice, but I don't like.
You got to be like. Yeah, turn your volume up. You gotta turn your volume up, Dre, because
I gotta turn my volume up.
Now your hearing aid.
The hearing aid ain't working out today.
All right, how about now?
There you go.
There we go.
All
right, let's do it. Obi Toppin. Happy to see that he's gonna get an opportunity to play. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest one. I'm not happy to see him go, but it looks like Indy's excited to have him. Mm-hmm. Halliburton was on social media going crazy about, that sort of adding him onto the team and that they're going to be running and gunning. So, happy for him individually, mm-hmm. not happy that we got rid of him for what we got rid of him for. You know what I mean? So more power to Obi, man. Hopefully, he's able to develop and become the player that he thinks he could be. I think we all agree that, he wasn't going to get this amount of playing time he needs to develop here with New York because he's behind Randall and we're going in that direction. Yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I kind of agree there. My thing was about more of the return for him than anything. Of course, we knew that he was going to have to go. Like, we saw it coming. It's there's no way you were surprised when you saw that he got traded. But how about you, Dre? I know you haven't been on in a minute. You haven't had a chance to voice. We've heard Joe's opinion. We'll get to you next, Joe. But, Dre, tell me how you feel about the whole Obi movement. I was really annoyed, man,
because Obi was one of my favorites. I like how he ran the floor. Mm-hmm. I like the way he moved without the ball. It makes sense from a staff standpoint as far as how should I say it when I say staff? Like, as far as if the Knicks are dedicated to Julius Randle, it makes sense that this guy needs more playing time and you move him. Like you said, Josh, we didn't get much in the return.
Right.
And they said, I saw somewhere that they said these two second round picks were not even like good second rounders. It just seemed like they just had to get rid of them really quick or something like that.
Right.
Which is annoying to not get a return on them. It's nothing exciting. Like, we don't know how that's going to look. You're not even excited about the return. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of guards on the team. Like, it just seems like, we signed other people. So the guy that they signed sounds like the kind of perfect fit for 15 minutes a game behind Julius.
Right.
But my thing has always been like, if Julius ends up getting hurt, now you really need somebody to fill in these positions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about what's the young kid that can't play defense, but he could jump out the gym.
Jericho Sims.
Yeah, Sims. Okay. They saying they might have him at the four, and like all of that scares me. I don't know, but
he's not playing no power forward.
Nah, Tibbs ain't doing that.
I hope not. I wouldn't think he would, but this is like the stuff that I'm reading. But everybody speculates in the offseason. Mm-hmm. But I was disappointed because I feel like Obi has a bright future, and I wanted him to have that bright future here in New York. you know, I'm happy that he gets to be in and with the Pacers and hopefully get more playing time. But, you know, I agree a lot with what Ron said. But everybody here, I think it's all, we probably share a lot of the same sentiment in terms of him, but not being happy that he's gone. But, you know, I guess moving forward, I guess we have to see how it turns out.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I mentioned it last time that I forgot what the handle was on Twitter, and I hate the fact that I don't remember it. But he basically was saying that when they first were shopping Obi last year, or whenever they were shopping him, they were just looking to get a late first rounder for him. So they were just saying, he was just saying that the drop off of a late first rounder to 2 second rounders isn't really that bad. So it's like kind of like we kind of still got around the value we were going to get for him, regardless if we traded him prior to the situation or not. When you look at it like that, okay, cool. But still, you know, the fact of the matter is it happened the way it did. But, you know, the way this team is, the way they're harboring picks, hopefully that goes a long way for us. I'm still waiting to see what happens. You know what I mean? We're still waiting for this big trade. But who knows? Who knows? But, Joe, talk to me, man. How you feeling about the Obi situation?
Bro, like, I mean, I've already stated, like, I don't care. Yeah. Bro, like, the market was the market. Like, KJ Martin got traded for 2 second round picks. I mean, if you look production wise, like, they're very similar players. You could even say that KJ was a little bit more productive.
Right, right.
John Collins got traded for basically salary. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, these guys who maybe don't have great positional flexibility, like, in today's NBA, like, this is what the market is for them, man. Right. So as much as I would have loved to have gotten more for Obi, like, I don't think we were ever going to get that much more. Could we have gotten Duarte? Absolutely. We probably could have gotten Duarte if we asked for him, but I would rather have DiVincenzo, honestly, than Duarte. Because you're gonna bring Duarte here, and Duarte is just gonna sit there, basically, and be the 10th man. You know what I mean? And he's pissed off. That's not fair to him and it's not fair to him because he's on a rookie contract. He's trying to get paid, so he'll be in the same situation that Obi is in. The Knicks did Obi a solid. They let him walk. He's on a team now where hopefully he'll get some sort of opportunity, which. Isn't that still questionable? Because, you know, they got some guys there that's going to man a lot of minutes in the front court. And they just drafted a power forward. So, and there was reports that came out that they were in the market for a power forward, Pascal Siakam. So how highly do they think of Obi Toppin if they're in the market to get Pascal Siakam? You know what I mean?
And they drafted. Not about his value, or they didn't see value in him.
Yeah, so, like, listen, I appreciate Obi was a good Knick. I appreciate everything that Obi did here. I'm happy that the Knicks gave Obi an opportunity to go somewhere else and hopefully get some minutes, hopefully raise his value, hopefully get paid a nice contract in his second NBA contract. And that's all one could ask. And the thing I hate about it the most is that we keep getting these New Yorkers in here, right? Like, these guys who are from here, and it doesn't seem to work out, and it makes you sad. But at the end of the day, like, it is what it is. It's a business at the end of the day, and I'm happy that Obi's gonna get an opportunity to hopefully get paid next summer.
Yeah, hopefully he gets the opportunity. I'm looking at the roster now. You got Jalen. No, yeah, for the Pacers. You got Jalen Smith at the power forward. Then you got Obi, of course. You still have James Johnson. I mean, he's not really going to take any minutes from anybody at this point. But it's not just a shoo-in for him to just be a starter. Of course, it'll be highlight central when he's on the court, without a doubt.
And that kid, Jarace Walker, like, he fits more of the mold of, like, what guys want in an NBA kind of, like, front court dude more than Obi does.
Yeah, so Jarace, yeah, he's actually
so long term. What is Obi's long-term, I guess, role in Indiana. That remains to be seen.
And he's also 25 years old at this point.
Yes, he is 25 years old.
Man, I don't know. I'm hoping he gets to showcase something. You know, I'm of the belief that the Pacers are going to try to raise his value for whatever case. They're going to try to give him as many minutes as he can get to raise his value. Is it going to be 30 minutes? I don't think it'll be that high. Because they have, like you said, they have a nice lineup of guys at that position. So, unfortunately, it's not just going to be easy for him to go in and get a bunch of minutes. But I do think that is Rick Carlisle the coach there?
Yes.
Yeah. I do think he's going to try to get him, you know, around 15 to 20 minutes a game, which is what I think he should get at least, at minimum. But hopefully, you know, I wish the best for Obi, man. You know,
You know what kills you though, bro? Like the fact that he's the eighth pick, right? Like we blew the pick.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like that's the one thing. Forget the trade. The one thing that we should be actually mad about is that pick basically got wasted.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't something that the Knicks could see coming, right? Like Julius Randle is all second team NBA. In an all-star, his seventh season. Like, that shit doesn't happen.
Right, yep.
True. it doesn't happen in the NBA, bro. Right. The fact that he did it and then did it again is remarkable.
I mean, if there's anyone who's ever proved, like, yo, you made the wrong move, like, he did that. Like, you know what I mean? In that one season. Like, all right, cool. You want to draft this guy at my position? And you go out and win him the most improved player? Like, that says a lot. You know what I mean? So, credit to Julius for doing that, and unfortunately, you know, Obi was in the wrath of that situation. You know, and I'm sure that they didn't have any ill feelings toward each other either. You know what I mean? It's just the way the game goes, unfortunately. But anyway, the next thing that I wanted to talk about, of course, is the signing of Dante DiVincenzo, the all-star that we've all been waiting for, depends on who you're talking to. I personally, just my personal opinion, I like the signing. That's just me. I think it's a good signing, a nice way to just like RJ said, keep it rolling. Seriously, but like, you know, honestly, just, you know, keep the ball rolling. You know what I mean? Because I think a big move probably could have shook things up a little bit too much. Sometimes you don't know how certain rosters and lineups can handle that. Like we saw the last time these guys went to the playoffs, and the next year they just didn't. So you don't want to mess things up. You know what I mean? Just stick with what you got. It worked. You got you guys to the Eastern semifinals. So I think you clearly just needed another shooter, a shot creator, and another defender, and you get that in DiVincenzo, and you know, some way or form, he's not like Kawhi out there, but you kind of need some role players. The things that we were looking for Josh Hart to do. Josh, you're open, take the shot. You don't got to tell Dante to take the shot. You know what I mean? I've never seen Dante take a shot that he didn't like. There's no shot out there that he doesn't like. It doesn't matter how far he is from the 3-point line, he's gonna launch it. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but you know, you kind of have that. He gives me the kind of, and I said this, and some other people felt some kind of way about it, a mix between play style. Now hear me out, play style, not as good as play Uh-oh. Style. Play
about style. To say something controversial.
Yes, because you know how people take things. Play style of someone in between Manu and J.R. Smith, but not clearly as athletic or as good, but you know, the play style, how you just off the bench, you're a high impact kind of player. You can get hot, quick, microwave kind of guy, can make some good plays here and there. But of course, he's going to play defense better than J.R.
And can play defense. That's the most important part, right?
Yeah. But it's what I'm seeing in terms of play style. You know what I mean? Just how he plays the game and comes off the bench and gives you that six-man kind of thing. That's the kind of role I see him playing for this team, because we don't have that kind of guy off the bench. We need quickly to be our guard. Like, He can't just be our scorer off the bench. He can't handle that. He needs something that he can do. He doesn't have to be the guy with all too much pressure. I want Quickly to be able to be who he wants to be and not have to go out there and make a play for the whole second unit every single time. We needed another guy out there.
I got a question for Ron and John. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like the Knicks last, not this past, but the previous season, right? Mm-hmm. The down season that they had. Like, they went out and they signed Kemba and they signed Fournier, right? And they clearly did that because they looked at that Hawks series and they were kind of like, we need to get some other guys in here who could do some things with the ball, right? Could dribble, pass, and shoot. Mm-hmm. But when you look back at it, they probably went, like, too far in that direction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. And I feel like the Dante signing is, like, them, like, perfectly splitting the baby, right? Like, right down the middle. Because they got a guy who could shoot, pass, and dribble, but they also got a guy who's going to compete defensively, right? And kind of get after it. Right. I feel like they learned that. I feel like that's the signing is proof of, like, a lesson learned. What do y'all guys think?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I mean, you also look at the culture fit. You know, first and foremost, they realized that the culture fit is pretty much what they were looking. This was a guy who was a part of the Villanova staff, right? He was with Brunson, he was with Josh Hart during their run, and he could just fit in with that group. You know, they understand his gameplay, and he's someone who can come off the bench or start, right? He has the ability to do both, and so you want to be flexible in that area. So I think it's just the right fit at the right time. I think that Kemba and Fournier were sort of like a high risk, high reward, you know, and unfortunately for Kemba, you know, it was short lived, and then Fournier had his moments, but defensively he was a liability and still continues to be a liability, and it's just not a good fit with the team that we have currently. So hopefully we find a place for him to go and we get something in return, someone who's a good culture fit again. And I think they have an understanding of who the leaders are on this team. They understand that Brunson is a true leader on this team. They understand Randle is more of a leader by example to some degree on the court. And then you got Josh Hart and a few others who are sort of comrades, you know, within, you know, they're sort of like enforce the culture, like enforce people to be like, hey, this is how we play the game. We hustle. We get back on defense, we talk, you know, we communicate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need those guys to sort of always keep reiterating it to players like RJ, who sometimes may not be 100% all the time, or Quickly, you know what I mean? Although Quickly has done his part defensively. So I'm looking forward to seeing DiVincenzo and Quickly on the floor together, because defensively, Quickly is underrated. So I'm interested to see how that looks.
Yeah. How about you, Ron? You're muted, Ron.
My bad. My fault. I had some noise going on in the background before and I forgot to unmute. I pretty much the same sentiments as John. The only thing I could say differently or add on to it would be just the fact that I think, shout out to Josh, a.k.a. Uncle Fulio. We don't agree on everything, but I agree with him on this. At the time when the Knicks did, like, I knew that the Knicks felt like they had too much defense and not enough scoring, as to what you were saying, Joe. And I definitely think they went too far left with regards to trying to bring in some scoring. Right. But I also think they got caught up, too. Like, the free agent market that year went crazy, and the Knicks kind of got to a point where there wasn't anybody they could really get that could fit what they needed to do. Plus, you know, Josh had brought up, this is why I agreed with him, he brought up a good point. Like, each team has a certain salary, that expectation that they have to meet. And at that point, the Knicks were far below that. So that's why they wound up giving money. Like, Kemba came out of nowhere, so he was a good deal. But they wound up giving money to Fournier, $18 million, to try to meet that threshold. So sometimes you do things from a basketball standpoint, and you think it's going to help your team, but it's also business. It was just a bad move. It just wasn't a good move. So, but I think now they're in a better situation. I agree they learn from this. And that's another reason why, as you can see, each the past couple of years, the Knicks have done things that we question as fans. Like, look at these players. You drafted this guy. You sent them to Detroit. You drafted this guy. You sent them over here. And why the Knicks are finagling just so they can have money to get what they need to do. Like, they wanted Jalen Brunson. They made all those moves and traded players just to have enough money to sign Jalen Brunson. This year, you trade Obi for nothing just so you can have enough money to make sure you can bring in Dante DiVincenzo. So there's always something behind it that we might not always love, but it's about the money.
That's what it's about, especially when you're talking about James Dolan.
And you see what Pudge said, right? Like, 100%, bro, they are building around Jalen. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you kind of got to be careful with your signings, especially your backcourt signings, right? Like, because you can't pair him with anybody. Right. You know, that's why, like, I was hearing what people were saying about, like, the LaVine stuff. But, like, LaVine, Randall, and Brunson as your top three players, like, you can't have those three guys, in my opinion. Man, somebody could chime in and correct me if they think I'm wrong. It's hard to have those three guys on the court in the most important moments, right, of basketball games and, like, and win. Like, you got to get stops, bro. And your two best players now are already kind of a liability. Not a liability, but they're not great defensively. So you're bringing a third guy who's going to play 35 minutes a game.
He's the number three, in my opinion, still, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And to me, Julius can be a number three. You know what I mean? So I think this wasn't a good mix. And while we on that, I did kind of want to touch on that topic, and we can go back to the DiVincenzo signing. How do you guys feel about the fact that what?
Nah, Eddie said it. Is Jaylen Brown a possibility? No. Oh, no. In one word, no.
No.
Moving on.
No. That's not a possibility. A lot of money anyway, and that deal would be ridiculous. So how do you guys feel about the fact that there seems to be now a collective of maybe people behind closed doors that don't want to deal with Leon Rose, or is it Knicks, or how Rich Paul says he doesn't want his clients going to New York? Do you think that's a bad rep, or do you think that's just a personal thing that they've dealt with because they both were agents in the past and, you know, maybe had some bad blood there? How do you guys feel about that, John, Ron and John, whichever?
Well, you know what? I'll let John give his take on it. But let me just put my take will be, I'll just put some stuff out there.
Okay.
Talk to me. So issues between Leon Rose when he was running CAA and Rich Paul, right? They already have some bad blood there, whatever that is. I think that a lot of people say that it points to LeBron when LeBron left CAA to go with, you know, Clutch and Rich Paul. Okay, maybe that's it. Then you got the silent poll from NBA players, I guess 44% or 40%, somewhere around there, of players in the league don't want to play for Tom Thibodeau. You got Then you got
and hold on. It was only like 53 votes. I just want to put that out there. Yeah, it wasn't like 400 players that voted or some shit like that. It was literally like 50 something votes.
But you know what? Most likely out of those 53 votes, it was probably some of the top players.
Some of the most prominent
in there. The prominent players.
Possibly. You know what
I mean? So you got that going on. Then you got the way the Knicks handled the Cam Reddish situation, not good. Then you got people around the league who respect and love Derrick Rose, looking at, you know, what's going on with Fournier and Rose and how the Knicks handled that situation. Then you got Obi Toppin, who is soft as hell, like baby butter, couldn't hurt a fly, always laughing and smiling. You got this dude coming out of his face yelling at Tibbs, and they got audio leaked out that, like, it's not looking good. That's all I'm saying. But go ahead, John. I just want to put all that out there because that's the perception. It's a lot.
I mean, there's a lot that goes on behind closed doors, and none of us really know. So, I mean, a lot. I mean, it's the NBA to be such a large market is a very small community of people. So, you know, if you as a scout or as a GM, you make bad connections or you make bad deals or you make deals when you're an agent versus from what you're now a GM, that sort of shows you having favoritism to one portion of the NBA, like the CAA.
Right.
That's going to cause, you know, some concern. You know, that's going to pretty much give you a limited amount of options when it comes to dealing with, you know, players that are outside of that CAA market. And that's what we're dealing with right now. Unfortunately, Leon Rose is who he is, and you know, this is kind of where the Knicks want to be as far as, you know, developing a culture and a fit or a style of play and the type of players they want to bring in. I mean, everyone that's under CAA was highly recruited by their scouting firm. So like they know the players in that area that are signed with CAA. So I just think that there's going to be a pool of players that they can pick from. And then there's going to be a pool of players that they are going to not be able to touch, which is why it was interesting to see that they couldn't pull off the Donovan Mitchell trade because he is a CAA guy. You know what I mean? And so, and I still think that that's the future that they want to see. I think when he becomes available, I really do think that they're going to go all in for Mitchell. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell backcourt. So that's where I'm at with it. I don't really know anything other than the same speculations that everybody's talking about right now. So
Right. How about you, Dre? Tell me how you feeling. How you feeling about that little backcourt connection with Leon Rose and Rich Paul?
I you know, it's one of those. It would all be speculation as far right. as what's going on back door and if players want to play for Tibbs or if they don't. I think that, you know, we can all say like I probably wouldn't want to play for Tibbs if I was a player. I don't know how much that means if I want to get paid a certain amount of money or I want to play a certain way or whatever the case may be. But I don't know how it goes with the agents. You know what I'm saying? All I hear is like, you know, this agent likes this or does this and he has these players and they go because it is, you know, what, one minute they say it's going to be Carl Anthony Towns because what he knows, who he knows here, and then this person and this guy's with LeBron, he's on the same team. So that part for me is all very abstract. Because, like, I really don't know. You usually find out now we got podcasts that come out and these dudes talk about what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and how that, yeah. And you're like, oh, that's what happened. And we never actually really know.
Right.
But I will say, though, I think when it comes down to brass tacks, like you said something, Ron, that I thought was interesting, that I always said that about new players and Obi Toppin always seeming like he's happy and smiling. So, like, when this whole thing came out, with him screaming, I was like, oh, like, this is new. Like, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Right.
But you would imagine anybody would be unhappy getting 15 minutes when Julius sucks on a certain night and they not even giving a minute. So. Mm-hmm. Then you hear this guy, what's the French dude? I'm always, like, forgetting their names at that. I know his name, Evan Fournier. But he comes out and now he's, like, he's mad. He's not getting talked about. He want to spit on people or he want to spit because he's, like, so angry that he don't play. But you can't play defense. And that's when they came out with that clip on Twitter where he was all the way on the other side of the floor, left his man all alone. And it was like, this is like the reason why, you know, so there's like all of these things that go, like, the league might be mad, might look at the Knicks and be like, ah, he handled this thing with Fournier. But the other thing, like you said, the way they handled Cam Reddish's situation, Cam Reddish didn't even stay with the team he signed with. Like,
yeah.
He already got shipped out, went to LA. So I don't know what's going on with Cam Reddish. He must have not been, you know, I think everybody's saying he went to Portland. He didn't stay with Portland, or maybe he was like, Lillard ain't going to be here. Let me get up out of here. I don't know. So there's like a lot of speculation. That's why, like, the offseason, I try not to read into anything too deep because everybody's throwing out this article here. There's a fake Twitter post here. There's another one here. It's just like the CAA is like this agent and that agent. I kind of want to see when the dust settles who we have and what's going on. Like, we know we lost Obi. You know what I'm saying? Right. We got a few new players, and it's kind of like they got Obi's brother for a quick minute.
He's still here. He still got him.
We still got him.
Yeah, for now.
He did the two-way. And so I'm like, yo, it's a lot going on. Because I'm like, why would they get the brother? Because at first we were saying, I think, Joe, you said in the text, he was like, is that a consolation prize to keep Obi? Then, next thing you know, Obi's like, yeah. Nope, it wasn't. You know what I mean? So then we got his brother. And I'm like, is his brother even as good as? I don't know, man. It's just because, you know, as fans, we get excited. We want to have something to be hyped up about. And it's just like, we're not seeing that. But I do feel like the Knicks are, it seemed like the front office is keeping a better head. Keeping their head, how should I say, keeping a leveled head in terms of, you know, like this whole Paul George, he wanted to sign for another 5 years. So you got somebody injury prone talking about now you got to give me a max 5 years. They was like, oh, no, you good. Never mind. Like, you know, I like that as opposed to them taking that before. But I love Paul George. I love the idea of Paul George.
Yeah.
Younger Paul George, but not the dude played 27 games or whatever last season or whatever. You know what I mean? And then it's all of a sudden. Right. We got this dude that's not playing, and he signed to a max contract, so he's 38 years old. Nah, I'm glad the front office did that. You know what I'm saying? Or didn't do that, I should say. So the offseason is all kinds of like all kinds of stuff going on.
Right. Always.
Well, Joe, let me just could I just add one more thing to this?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that looking at the Knicks team, looking at what they've been able to accomplish to this point, and looking at how the organization is being run, were they wrong to get rid of Cam Reddish? No. Were they wrong to trade Obi Toppin? No. Were they wrong to bench Derrick Rose, who looked like he was finished out there some nights? No. Were they wrong to not play Evan Fournier, who couldn't play defense and looked lost on offense this year? No. Uh-huh. It's just about how they handled it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
If they would just did things a little differently, you can't say nothing about it.
But tell me, Ron, how would they handle like the Evan Fournier?
I was literally about to ask. Like,
yeah, because I mean, they said they was winning after they benched him.
Like, how do you finesse that in a way that makes you can't make everybody happy. I don't see how they would have been able to do that and make Evan happy. Like, they were 10-13. Like, 23 games is a pretty big sample size. Like, they were 10-13 when D Rose and Evan were in the lineup, and they went like 37-22 the rest of the
day. They said, let's figure this out. Let's try this. And it worked. And it was just like, I don't know if they had an explanation. They were supposed to give them 4 minutes. Like, you know what I mean?
No, there was nothing wrong with that. How they did it, and if you guys remember, I mean, it's kind of like going back and remembering, but if you remember when the Knicks were playing and they were winning and Tibbs went to the strict nine-man rotation, Evan Fournier was clapping. He was cheerleading.
That's why I was surprised. He was talking about spitting on
people. No. Actually, what he said was he thinks Tibbs was spitting on him and Derrick Rose because of all they've already accomplished in the league, and they're looking like rookies out here. That's what he was saying. But the issue for me, and I think this is what set Fournier off, you get to the trade deadline, he thinks he's going to get traded. They can't move him. Okay, so he felt a certain way about it.
He just got a bunch of money, right?
There you go. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it was understandable because it would probably take you giving up a pick to get him out of here. And the Knicks did it smart. If they gave up a pick, they gave the pick to move off of Cam Reddish to bring in Josh Hart. I think we all like Josh Hart here, so that was the way to do it.
Cool.
The issue was when we got to the playoffs, and he starts to see that we take care of business with Cleveland, knock them out the box, and then we face Miami, who's shooting us out the gym, and we can't shoot, and he's sitting on the bench like, I lead your team in three-point shots. That's what he's thinking. You need a shooter, and I'm right here.
I'm right here.
That's why.
But we need a defender too. Like, he's got to know that he's horrible.
I hear you. But,
The Knicks didn't lose that series defensively, though. The Knicks lost that series because they couldn't make shots. I don't think Evan would have.
He would have hurt just as much as he would have helped.
I think that Miami would have adjusted, bro.
They might have, but look, we could have. And if you're gonna play Evan every night, is it gonna hurt you more than it helps you? Maybe, but you never know. There could be that.
Could have ambushed them. I get what you're saying.
And you might win because Evan got hot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's all I'm saying.
He's the kind of guy that can't get hot. I mean, don't get me wrong. I never was a huge fan of Evan starting. I always said that he's the kind of guy that can get hot off the bench. Cool to have that kind of guy on your team, but not as a starter, you know what I mean? Right. And I was cool with him coming off the bench. So him getting DNPs, I mean, it's not like I was happy. Cause it's like, yeah, you just broke the record for threes the year before, right?
You feel bad for him. He's still a really good NBA player.
Yeah, he's still
like he can help somebody.
He can help somebody. So
it just didn't work, and you can't move him. Like sometimes it's just more than just all right. We got to get him out of here. You know, Joe. Like you know, like you got to match the salaries. There's all these different factors that go into it. It was late in the season. He didn't get traded by the, and it's the team was doing well after he got benched.
But I don't think the Knicks. The Knicks wanted to trade him. I think that they looked to trade him.
That's what I'm saying.
It was nothing there. And like, I don't know, for a guy who's been in the league for as long as he's been in the league, like it sucks, but you gotta understand that it's a business at the end of the day. The Knicks not just gonna move you just to move you, bro.
Right. And where's he going? Where's he going that he contributed?
The last thing I wanted to say about it, I'll shut up because I don't want to talk too much. I wanna let everybody get their stuff out. But if you're Evan Fournier and Dre. If you're Evan Fournier on the bench,
Evan Fournier,
I see where this is going.
There's no quickly. Quickly's hurt. Grimes is stinking it up. Julius Randle is stinking it up. And you're sitting there knowing that, hey, if you can say whatever you want to say about me, I can't drive to the hole. My defense put me behind that 3-point line. I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
And he's also watching Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson was benched for like a month and a half for Miami because they couldn't do anything with him. Now all of a sudden it's a resurgence. Fournier's like, I'm the Knicks Duncan Robinson. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just saying he's probably like, yo, what's going on? You need me right now.
I'm big on I hear you because then you're looking around like, yo, like what's up? Like he still don't see the value in putting me out there, but say that.
Yeah, you know what's crazy though?
Because then it'll be a little bit more clear about why he's unhappy. Go ahead.
I can see it. I see it from both sides. Like Evan has every right to be pissed.
Yeah, facts.
At the same time, if I'm Tibbs though, I'm looking at the guys that got me 37 and 22. Hey, you know what I mean?
The rest of the way. You don't want to switch
like,
it up.
So when I look down the bench, I'm like, yo, these is the guys that got me here. These are the guys I'm rocking with.
I hear you.
It's not like I don't know if it's what I would have done, but it's not like it's not crazy either. It's not like a fireable offense or like some people were calling it malpractice. I think that's like a bit that's taking it a bit too far. Like not playing. Yeah, not playing Evan Fournier is not malpractice.
Here's the thing, Joe. Because this is what I'm looking at it like, all right, is he trying to get moved? So he about to go play for France, right?
Yeah,
right.
I think
so. Now you got to shine. Now you got to look real good. You're talking all the shit about the Knicks, right? Mm-hmm. You better look good out there when you're playing against Canada, United States. So now let's say you don't look good. You talk all the shit now. What the Knicks doing with you?
Listen,
he's gonna look good. He's a FIBA monster, bro.
He's a man over there.
But he's gonna have to go against Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart.
he's gotta go against
Aldridge on another team.
But it's different because he's a featured player with his team. He's a guy who has the ball in his hands a lot for that team.
I would go after him.
He's good because he showed up against Durant and those guys. Like he really is good.
Yeah, and every FIBA, like you said, he looks good. He come back and then he comes to a regular team and you're like, where's the FIBA?
Because he doesn't get play. He doesn't get the same action, right? They utilize him as a corner shooter with the Knicks. When he was with Orlando, he was a featured player.
Yeah, he had the ball. He was running pick and rolls.
He was a playmaker. Yeah, and it's a different type of game. And he's also upset, and I'll tell you why he's really upset, because his stock went down. And the only way to be relevant in the NBA, now he can't go nowhere, and now he's not a valuable like starter or potential starter for any other team because now he's an aging player. When every year, the players get younger and younger, and he gets older and older. So at some point, we already know he knows he's a liability defensively. So for him, it's like I have to be an offensive weapon and put in a position to succeed in order to get paid and continue to get paid. Yeah, right now, this is maybe like his 11th season, right? Well, how many seasons is he in the league?
Yeah, he's been for a minute, man.
So
the Knicks, what they're trying to do is win. And they know they got to be younger.
Yeah, I don't even think he's 30 yet, though. That's the crazy part.
Nah, get the fuck out of here. He got to be
30. I think he's 29, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
That's close enough. I mean, but 11, about what, 10 years in the league? How many years in the league? Because at a certain point, they start to move away from certain players. You know, as soon as you exceed a certain amount of years in the league, they start to move away from you.
He's 30.
Well, if you look at like...
He's 30? He is 30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just look at the contracts that Josh Hart just signed. And
he's going to be 31 October.
11 okay. years, Joe. 11 yeah. years.
But look at the contracts that Josh Hart just signed and Dante DiVincenzo. They're both around $13 million per. And you're looking at a guy like Evan Fournier, like he's not even getting minutes and he's making, what, 18, 19 a year? So, I mean, it's hard to move that contract. I mean, even if you can't be really mad at Tibbs or anybody, no one's going to want that contract, you know? Like, you kind of got to look at it, you know, you got to go after the money, but as a player, you also have to think in advance, is this going to be a contract that our teams are going to be scared to touch later? You know, because I still want to be able to go to a team and give them something.
But it's an expiring this year, so, I mean, somebody should want to touch it.
No one, that says a lot.
So, but yeah, this is the problem, though, Kat.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is, though?
Trade deadline, though.
Yeah.
You know what the real problem is, though? What? A team is not going to want to give up a real asset for him, probably.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the Knicks are not going to want to send out an asset to get rid of him.
Get rid of him. Right.
So he is in. It's just not a good. It's a bad place to be, bro. Yeah. Like, you just hope that somebody emerges that wants to give up a second round pick or something.
And it's the best possibility that him playing could have worsened his stock even more. That's still a possibility. In my
opinion. And that's the other thing about us saying, like, I could get playing time. Like, you don't know how it would have worked out if he'd have done really well or if he's because I believe in situational basketball, not as much as Tibbs. Tibbs is going to keep like this horrible player in there, keep playing. But I felt like there's times, yo, we need a shooter right now. He could have put him in. Yes, I do believe he could have put him in.
With two, but three, then you risk.
There's just like so many other variables to moving somebody who hasn't played. And I think that it's more about that with Tibbs. It was like, yo, this dude hasn't played in months or weeks or whatever the case. And I just can't put him in. I do need a shooter.
Yeah, Dre, that's the problem, though. He hasn't played in months. It's not like you're talking about a rookie who you could sit there or a young player that, you know, maybe hasn't earned. Fournier was the man in Orlando. Like, the man. And then
he was having a man here, even when he was getting more time.
No, the old Fournier.
No, he was the man.
No, I'm talking about who got the Knicks up.
When he was in Orlando,
that's why when he got here, I was a little bit disappointed because he never looked as good as he did when he was with Orlando.
But I think that plays to the whole point that we were talking about. In FIBA, he's the man. Everybody respects him. They use him a lot. With Orlando, he was the man. When he went to Boston, now you go to Boston and you're there with Kemba and you're there with Jaylen Brown and you're there with Tatum. Like, you're not the focal point. So that's when his game started to not look as good. Then he comes to the Knicks, a similar situation. You ain't the man on the Knicks
team.
Either.
You're right. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a bummy team when he was Orlando. It wasn't really like star.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, it was him and Terrence Ross over there. So
they got and Vucevic,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their star. Vucevic was the star.
What happened to Vucevic?
He's on the
He got old and went to the Bulls.
I think he just re-signed with the Bulls this year too.
But this is one of the key moments where I say this is where I look at the front office. When you know you're, like, let's say Fournier came off of the record-breaking year in three-point shots, wouldn't you think to yourself, like, we have a guy who's aging, who's not going to be utilized in the same way at some point, that you want to maximize his trade value and get him and move him when he's at the highest peak? Yeah. And the same goes for Obi Toppin. Like, if you know you're not going to utilize him at some point and he's not your future, wouldn't you want to get off of that and get something back for him? But that's the front office. That's their job. Their job is to project and forecast what is potentially happening in the future. That's their job, is to forecast. If they're not forecasting properly, then they have a bigger issue internally.
So, like, you bench him. You bench him and D-Rose. The team is winning. Where do you find the time in the rotation? Let's see if we could get this dude some value. Like, how do we balance that with, we winning now, we on a roll, we got our young guys, they're playing better defense, These young guys can shoot. Maybe not as good as Fournier, but they're shooting good enough to win. And then, but we got to find time. Hey, Tibbs,
garbage, put him in
for 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
No. It's communication. You play them for the first 20 games, and you realize that if you're in strong communication with your coach, right, you're sitting there and you're saying, what direction are you taking? And if coach is saying, I'm going with the young kids, then you start making phone calls saying, hey, I got Fournier. He's going to be on the market. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's on the market. He just won. He just conquered a 3-point whatever. He's in the history books for the Knicks. We're going young. We want to move this guy. Does he have value? Do you think he will help your team? You start making phone calls. It seems like they're holding these guys too long.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're running the gambit because now we can't get nothing for him. The same thing with Julius. If you made the decision 2 years ago when he won the best player, like comeback player of the year or whatever, right?
Most improved.
And most improved, and you turn around and you say, Obi's our future, you move Randle. Because he just got to a point where the value is at his all-time high. But if you didn't, if you know you're sticking with Randle, then you have to move the young.
Yeah.
Right? So those forecasting decisions haven't made the best effort for that. Like, they haven't projected properly yet.
They hold the dice a little bit too long.
A little too long. Yeah. And that's their flaw that I see right now.
Mm-hmm. And John's right. Like, as soon as Julius won the most improved player, they should have flipped Obi.
That's your time.
They should have flipped him right then and there.
They should have flipped Obi?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Because they already got more. They got caught. Remember, they drafted Obi thinking Julius was going to leave, and they didn't think he was going to get better. And then he won most improved player. At that point, Julius wants to be here. We got him for cheap, and he's balling out. You got to rock with him and move Obi. Because he's still young, and you don't know any of the downside yet with Obi. They could have got something probably pretty good for Obi at that point.
Right. Yep. Especially when you have a guy who's kind of like a highlight kind of guy. You know what I mean? He was still doing the under the leg dunks, the East Bay dunks in game at that point. You know what I mean? He wasn't really doing it as much this year. And that's kind of what you have to forecast. You saw it towards the end of last year. Teams started to see, all right, he leaks out. We got to get to him before he leaks out. And this year, you didn't see as many leakouts as you did because they were prepared. The moment that he went down the court, there was already a guy down there with him. So, yeah, he still got his fair share because, you know, he's a four. Not most fours aren't looking for that. So he's going to get down the court quicker than a lot of fours. But teams game plan for it a little bit better this year than they did before. But like you said, as a front office, you have to forecast that. If you see that teams can game plan for your second guy already, and you already see that's a weakness that he can have. Well, after you shut down those fast breaks, what does Obi have? You know what I mean? Right. So
that's nonsense, Toon.
What Toon say?
Toon said a lot, bro.
Toon said a lot. What did Toon say? He said,
yeah, that's the one I was talking about. I kind of maybe agree with the first one, but the second one, like,
so you said the front office can't make any major moves because nobody fucks with Dolan. No matter who we have in the front office, we'll only be able to build within and make minor moves.
I don't know if this is a Dolan thing anymore.
I kind of agree with.
I agree with that in a sense that. And because I'm always the one that's saying that we got to save ourselves, right? Nobody's coming to save us. Like, right. I've been saying that, yo. Right. So I kind of agree with Toon there. But it's the second one that bothers me because he literally put it up there.
It's the second one. He said, Tibbs got to go. You can't expect a man who would go bald holding on to his last 5 strong hair follicles and combs it over like it covers his whole head to make any changes to better the future. Actually, that's golden. That's pretty damn
cool. That's hilarious. But the problem that I have is, like, he made changes this year to better the future. He played the young. That's what all Knicks fans wanted.
That's what we've been asking for them to do forever.
He literally played the young, bro.
Now look, this is what my issue is when it comes to Tibbs and changes. He does make adjustments, but he doesn't make in-game adjustments the way that
he does them later.
Yeah, now that I could agree with. Right? He's not a genius when it comes to that.
Right. Just kind of like you were mentioning the whole aspect of him playing RJ and Josh Hart at the same time. A few
I didn't get it, bro.
Why are you doing
that? I didn't get it. It didn't work. All you literally, did you guys notice that, Ron and John? In the playoffs, right? In the playoffs, he literally had like 4 or 5 games straight where Hart and RJ shared no minutes together because it wasn't working. Like, he literally stopped doing it. And then in the elimination game, they're both out there at the end of the game. And then with like a minute and a half left, he's like, oh shit, we need spacing. Let me put Quentin Grimes back in now. Like, bro, you went away from that for a reason. Like, why are you going to it now at the most important moment of the season? Like, it bothered the hell out of me, yo.
Yo, you want to see the bad part of Tibbs? Have the Knicks make the playoffs. That's when you start to see the worst of Tibbs. And he hasn't proven me wrong yet. I wanted to give him credit. I gave him credit for what he did down the stretch in the regular season. But once you get to the playoffs, what did he actually do where you said, man, Tibbs is coaching his butt off? The Cleveland series, Cleveland was overmatched by the Knicks. Their young guys
physically,
didn't step up.
Physically,
yeah. So we bullied them. We did whatever we wanted. So that was just the players doing what they needed to do. When we got into a matchup against an evenly matched team in Miami, he got out-coached.
He got straight out.
So, yeah. You know,
but to be fair, a lot of people get out-coached by Spo.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Spo is just owning everybody, bro.
Yeah, but we talked about that for years when it comes to Tibbs, about his lack of coaching. Like that first year when we had Alfred. Mm-hmm. When we had him, and then dropped him out of the blue for the playoffs, and it was just like you just changed the whole dynamic of the whole team. And it was like you said, Ron. I was like, why did he do that? Like, I didn't like Alfred, but you don't just drop him all of a sudden and not give him any time. In like, he changed the whole lineup for the playoffs. It was just like crazy. And so, like, you talk of Josh, you talk about all the time, like his in-game adjustments. He's like super stubborn, and that's what Toon is getting in. What he's saying about one guy trying to cover his hair. That's like the guy you trying to he did here with that sneeze. Like, you thought you'd get robbed or something back there. Bless you. but like he said about the hair follicles crossing over, like somebody who's willing to hang over to those few, it's like, that's the guy who's stubborn. That's what I got from what he's saying. Like, he's super stubborn. He doesn't want to make those adjustments. And it's true. We've been talking about that, like, when we were losing before, and I was like, yo, is it Tibbs, or am I tripping?
But yeah, he's, listen, bro. The guy is as stubborn as they come, bro. It's literally a gift and a curse for him. You know what I mean?
That's the whole OB thing, and it looks like it's because of all of that stuff is because Tibbs. Then you have 53 players. Who was what did they ask them? Would they play for Tibbs? And none of them want to play for Tibbs. That could really be a thing.
But at the same time, though, I say this, guys. As soon as he got here, this shit turned around. That's not a coincidence. Yeah,
he's good for the culture.
He's great for the culture. Exactly.
Good for the shift.
I don't know. He's not the guy who gets you there, right?
To the next level.
Yeah, probably not.
He's the guy that gets us fixed. To get us there, we're going to have to shift.
We're still looking for our Steve Kerr. We're still looking for our Steve Kerr.
Yeah, he's Mr. Steal Your Girl. I mean, Mr. Turn Your Franchise Around. He's that. My bad. Mr. Turn
Your Franchise Around. But who knows?
Tim's ain't stealing nobody, girl.
We'd be looking better soon.
Yeah, that's a doka.
Yeah.
Dre, you over there, you blinking over there, bro.
Yeah, I'm about to. I gotta turn this thing. I gotta get the other battery in.
What'd you say, Dre? My bad. You were saying something.
I was just saying, like, you know, when he, you know, Joe said when he got here, he turned the franchise around. Let's say if we got Mark Jackson, just for argument's sake, let's say we got Mark Jackson and we turn things around, then we'd be saying Mark Jackson turned things around and so forth and so on. You know, it could have gone good, it could have gone bad depending on who we got. I think a coach is a coach. And I know Shaq is like one of those guys that say it's the players, it's not the coaches, and I don't necessarily believe that. But I don't want to give him too much credit, but I don't want to not give him credit for what he's done also. But I do feel like he doesn't adjust. I think he's extremely stubborn. And I think that the Knicks probably would be better if, like, you know, like, this started with the whole Spoelstra out-coached him, and anybody would. Spoelstra would out-coach many of the coaches in the NBA, you're right. But I feel like with what the Knicks had, OB sitting out there, and maybe even Evan, because I don't agree with him being like, you know, he's just sitting there, because I feel like he's a complete liability on the defensive end. But, you know, I think that we got the coach we got. We got Julius Randle, right? Like, we got to stick with that. That's what, you know, that's what the franchise is going with.
You know what I want to say? The reason why I think Eric Spoelstra is such a great coach is because he simply trusts his guys. And say you have Evan Fournier, right? And you're in the playoffs and everything's going to shits. You got a few guys injured here, you got a few guys injured there. And you look down the bench and you say, Evan, get in there. Evan is like, oh shit, this is my time. Like, you actually calling on me? That's just cool. It's the trust factor that you're giving him to go out there and just give me something. Yeah, we didn't practice with you on a lot of these plays, but I'm trusting you out there. Like, for a coach to look down at the end of the bench at a guy who doesn't run a lot of plays with and say, you go in there, that action alone is a trust factor. And I think that's what Eric Spoelstra really hones into with a lot of his guys. A lot of those guys, you don't, Hayward Heisman, who is that guy? No one knew who the hell Hayward Heisman was before he played the Knicks in that series. So it's, but he went in there and he made an impact because Eric Spoelstra said, listen, go in there and make an impact. And that's exactly what he did. Just play your game. So I think it's Tibbs not necessarily, it's an action of not, there's not trusting and also like being scared to mess something up. You know what I mean? You got to trust some of these guys.
But Tune, to be fair, like, you also got to have the team to make it past the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what I mean? It can't just be the coach. You gotta have the you gotta have the horses too. That's, you know what I mean? And the Knicks currently don't quite have the horses. I think Jalen Brunson is. And who knows? If we could get Julius Randle playing like Julius Randle in the playoffs, maybe we actually are a contender. I don't know. If he plays like all NBA Julius, like, I think we could make noise, but he just hasn't so far.
But I mean, in the playoffs, yeah. I honestly think the key to
this mental.
The key to this current team making it to the next level without making any adjustments is an emergence from Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett. And if you don't see an emergence from those two guys, you're gonna have pretty much the same kind of season and outcome, because, you know, those are two guys that play 30 plus minutes a game. They're, you know, IQ sometimes doesn't play 30 minutes a game, but, you know, he plays close to it. If you have someone that's on the court that much and he makes that much of an impact, especially the way IQ showed up in the playoffs, you can't have that. Emmanuel Quickley, I was looking forward to him having that big game in the playoffs. I was waiting for it.
We were waiting and waiting, and it's never happened.
It just never happened. But you know he can do it. You know he can do it. But like Chat, I said, if what's up?
I just wanted to share this thing. I think I sent the screenshots to you guys before, right?
Which one?
And it has, what is it, the every player where they stand on the court in the Raptor. You know, I don't know what the Raptor rating is, but they have the WAR, like the plus offensive and defensive rating for the NBA players. Yes. I think top 100, right? And they got Jalen Brunson at number 9.
Wow.
Right? They got Josh Hart and Emmanuel Quickley is number 33 and 34. And these two dudes are coming off the bench.
Right.
Right. And then you have Julius Randle at 59, who's right behind it. So Julius Randle, Herbert Jones, and Clint Capella all tied for 57, 58, 59. It has them as all 59. Right behind Julius Randle is Dante DiVincenzo.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And that's like a pretty good squad. Like, these dudes made it in the top 100.
Right.
Dante is coming off the bench, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Quickley is coming off the bench. These dudes in the top 100 overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like, no matter who we got, like, I feel like for the coach, I think he did something right to go back to regular Joe's point, as far as like this coach doing what he had to do and being a good coach. But I think the team did what they had to do to get like these good players. Like, Quickley, they talking about trading him. I don't want to hear nothing about that. I don't know. I just don't want to lose Quickley. I just think Quickley is still young. I think he's still figuring it out. He's still coming off the bench. I think he's got a lot of potential. And I told you, I love Josh Hart.
y'all know how I feel about Quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you feel about Quick?
You gotta keep Quick.
Quick is my guy, yo. I think Quick's value. Like, yo, you see how quick all of these advanced stats, like Love Quickly, like on, off, Raptor, all of that shit. Like, he just rates crazy high and all of that. That's not a coincidence. Like,
no, it's not.
He really does a lot of things that go like unseen for the Knicks, man. Like, you want to talk about, now I think the Knicks would be better than the seventh seed this year. Chill, bro. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. Well, Knicks, you know, I was just going to say that I think the Knicks need to talk to Quickly and tell him, look, we want to do right by you, but we need you to play this season out. And RJ Barrett is my favorite player, but I think RJ Barrett is on the hot seat. And Quickly is
RJ Barrett is your favorite player, Ron?
Yeah. On the Knicks.
On the Knicks. On the Knicks.
No, I mean, even on the Knicks.
Don't say that to Dre.
I'm one of those guys, like, you know, when he came into the league, he was my favorite player. I don't just change up and say, okay, now I got this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still rocking with him. I'm not happy with the way he plays, but
Dre, how you feel about him?
When he came in, that's how I was looking at him.
All right, 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 all right. First of all,
Ron, he's Mr. Inconsistent. That's all.
No, hold on.
No.
Yeah. Joe put the wild battery in Dre's back just now.
Right. Dre, how you feel about him, Dre?
You went crazy. You went crazy. Don't get him going, because first of all, Dre would not stop.
So, Ron, it's not that. I'm surprised to hear that you say he's your favorite.
Dre can't let it go, yeah.
He's been my favorite since he came.
So that's a personal emotional thing. That's just like
But I'm also the one who will tell you that RJ Barrett has gotten worse every year since he's been here.
I think so.
Yeah. I know who he is.
Real good games, and then he'll like just start missing free throws and just
miss. Yeah. I think his skill set and his talent level have decreased every single year since his second year. First year to second year, he got better. From the second year
was a really good year.
Yeah. Third year, he got worse. Fourth year, he got worse than the third year. So each year, he's getting worse. I don't care if he's scoring 20 points. Everything else
is gotten
worse.
So, Ron, the way he obviously game six excluded, the way he played in the playoffs gives me hope.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The reason I say that is he did things in the playoffs, like the things that when you envision, like, what is the best version of RJ Barrett, like, he did those things in the playoffs. The way he, when he got in the paint, what's his number one thing to me is, like, he gets in the paint, but he makes terrible reads.
Yeah.
Like, that little scoop layup that he's been getting away with since he was probably, like, 13 years old, like, that shit is doesn't work here, bro. Like, you gotta, the way that he could kind of combat the fact that that's all he has in his bag is by making better reads once he gets to the rim. And if you watched him in the playoffs, bro, he had, like, that six-game stretch in the playoffs where he made every single right pass, bro. Like, he was hitting guys in the corner. He was hitting Mitch on a roll, like, hitting Mitch with lobs. Like, he was outstanding, bro. That's who he needs to be, in my opinion, in order to maximize, like, his skill set.
From, like, game four, from, like, well, three or four. Yeah, I think it's game four of the – no, I think it's game three.
Cleveland series.
From game three of the Cleveland series up until game five of the Miami series, RJ looked great. He did what he needed to do from his side. Other guys needed to step up, but at least he did what he needed to do. So I'm with you. There's something that you can say he can build on. I think he needs to kind of work on his handle, his layup package, and his mid-range shot coming into this year. That's what he needs to do.
He got
to
work on everything. He got to work on his speed. His speed
He do. And maybe cut a couple, you know.
A couple pounds.
Yes.
He's too slow.
Exactly.
I think he's worked on.
He's got muscle. Some things to work on.
He's worked on muscle too much. But I do think his pull-up shot, more than anything, if there's one thing that I think, if I had to narrow it down, that RJ needs to get in his bag and work on in order for him to improve in 1 year, it's his pull-up jump shot. If you can develop a pull-up jump shot, this way, you know, because it's either threes or layups nowadays. It's pretty much what you get.
I would argue.
I think it's, you know what makes it hard for him, though? You know what makes it hard for him? I think
Hold on, Joe. Let me. That one thing he needs to work on, I'm gonna tell you right now, is his free throw. If I take all of that other stuff, if he's not getting, we lose some games. Like we have those games with 5 point games.
He got to get to 80%, man. Like no, he got to somehow get to 80%.
The reason why I agree. I'm not tripping because LeBron is a career like 78%.
Yeah, but he's not LeBron bro.
LeBron is LeBron. I get that, but we're not gonna move the goalposts. It's still bad free throws.
No, bro. It doesn't matter though, because LeBron is exponentially great at like everything, though, bro. So if he wants to shoot 70% from the line, so be it, bro. RJ Barrett doesn't have enough margin for error to shoot 71% from the free throw line.
Cool.
Huh?
Okay, cool. RJ Barrett shot 80% from the free throw line. Is he going to have a great season? No.
He'll have a far more efficient season if he shot 80% from the line.
I'd rock with it, but I don't think that's enough. I see where you're going.
It's not the end all be all.
If I'm picking one thing for RJ Barrett, it's not his free throws. It's his pull-up jump shot.
Don't you think that the problem with the pull-up jump shot is that he doesn't create a lot of separation?
It's whatever you got to do to get that pull-up right, bro.
I'm not sure, bro.
That is the one thing that will change RJ Barrett's game. He can work on free throws throughout his career. That right there can get you out of the league way quicker than the time you need to work on your free throws.
Have you guys also noticed? And I'm sorry, I forget things. So if I say it, I'm just jumping in because I don't want to forget it. Have you guys also noticed that ever since Drew Hanlon worked on his shot? Remember when his rookie season, he couldn't really shoot that well. He came back year two. He shot 41% from three, especially them corner threes. He was killing it.
Who?
But RJ.
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 Yeah. No, Drew Hanlon is the trainer that worked with him, the shooting coach and stuff, the skills coach. Mm-hmm. But when he worked with him, then he had RJ with the follow through, right? Every time he shoots, he'd hold it. But when you hold and stuff, like, and RJ's done that ever since. But now you holding stuff and you're not getting back. You're not getting offensive boards. You're not like he's out. He's not in the play. He's just here holding it and stuff is moving around him. Like
bro.
He got to get active again.
Yeah. He needs to watch a lot of film.
Yeah. How many times he posing and his man is leaking out, bro? Oh my God.
It's annoying. I hope he can get with Dante DiVincenzo in practice and work on just whatever the hell they can work on together. Get like do horse or something. I don't know what the hell it can be, but just get like I think RJ just is scared to try new shit sometimes. That's just what I feel it is. Just do it consistently.
Sometimes you need a different coach too, Paulo. It's hard to cut ties with your guy. Sometimes you need to switch it up. You in the NBA. This is a business. This is your job.
I'm going for did Kenny Atkinson get picked up?
You got a whole off season.
I'm not sure.
Is he still on the Golden State Warriors?
No, he's still an assistant for Golden State. I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson, he's still there.
Come on. Listen, man, I'll be on the phone.
You want Kenny Atkinson, Cat?
Absolutely. I take him. I mean, in 2023, you need a coach who can draw up some offensive plays, man.
Well, he was my other choice. Remember, it was between Tibbs and Kenny. Mm-hmm. Like, Kenny was the guy I wanted, but when they hired Tibbs, I was like, I could rock with it. But I kind of wanted Kenny because I felt like Kenny was a little bit more progressive.
Anything is better than Fizdale.
I'll hand somebody off to y'all to tell me what y'all think about this potential coach. Sam Cassell. Mm. What are your thoughts?
I didn't know him as an assistant, right?
I never seen him.
I hear he's a good coach. Like players only
players
have
love him.
Yeah, players only have good things to say about him.
But players love Fizz.
He was also the coach during the Houston run, right? Like as a player coach, like a point guard who came in and facilitated the offense. Like it wasn't Kenny Smith. It was Sam Cassell who really brought that team to that. You know what I mean? So just thinking about like the guys who are like a Mark Jackson type, they are very into the game, understanding of the game. I always look at someone as an assistant. I know Sam Cassell's journey, he wants that to lead into a coaching opportunity at some point. Mm-hmm. Would you give him an opportunity if you were a New York Knicks, even bring him in as an assistant now to work his way in.
As well, I feel like Johnny's
next up, man.
That's what they said, but I don't know what is his history.
What has he done? Yeah, what is his strengths, weaknesses?
Like, well, they said Johnny was the architect of all of that success that they had over there in Utah.
What part of the success?
I don't know how that.
I think a lot of that. So from what I understand, a lot of their offensive success that they had in Utah, like a lot of people credit Johnny as the guy who like was kind of the architect of that. He got them shooting more three pointers and stuff like that, and got them a little bit more progressive of what was happening in the league. That's what I heard about Johnny.
I think you're right about that. That's what I heard, something similar to that. But then I start to think, well, that's the same type of principle and system that's probably being run here in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's different. You notice that it's not as successful when you don't have the personnel to carry it out the same way. Because that Utah team, they had some good players over there that could shoot.
They had some shooters, yeah. Yeah. But listen, bro, like, I forget who it was. I think it was Joe Mazzulla. He talked about the 3-point shot and the benefit of getting up as many threes as you can. Like, the league believes that you should get up as many threes as you can because the shot is just worth so much more. You know what I mean? And you know, the emphasis on the corner three is, of course, right? Because it's the closest three, the easiest three. But like, this is what the entire league is preaching, though. It's not like it's just something that's – it's not just Tibbs. It's not just Johnny, right? Like, the entire league is leaning towards, let's get up more three-pointers. Mm-hmm. I think with the Knicks, though, the biggest thing is we need to get a little bit more off-the-ball kind of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is there's not enough action going on away from the ball.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you predominantly run ISO ball as
yeah, and Tibbs is your coach.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what he did. Even when he was in Chicago, that was kind of how he got his offense. It was give D Rose the ball and make something happen.
It was D Rose pick and rolls like all day. But to his to his defense, right? Like, you got two of the best ISO players in the entire NBA. Like, how do you not run ISO? And you got two of the most double team guys in the NBA.
No, running ISO isn't the issue. It's the frequency.
And I think you also, like I say, if you're gonna run that ISO, like, there got to be some other stuff happening
on the other side. And that's one thing that I did like about the whole triangle system. Not the whole triangle running here, but is the fact that on one side of the floor you got the ball handler and another guy, and then on the other side the three guys are making movements. There's movements on the other side of the court. No one's standing still, and you can see that. And what that does is it keeps the defense occupied. No one, if there is a cut on this side of the court, you don't have a free guy on that side whose man is standing in the corner that can just jump across and steal the ball, and now they're going down the court. You have those guys occupied with movement over there so that if you do have a cut here, he's wide open at the basket. So that's why you kind of have to have other movement on the floor. On the opposite side of the floor. And I even when Melo was here, I hated it. And I can't blame Melo. Melo's not telling no guys to stand in the corner. You got to have a coaching, just a style that has other guys all over the floor moving so that it's not easier for the defense to just make a play. And then, you know, you guys can't get anything going. But, you know, we could talk about that until it blew in the face. Or until Tibbs isn't our coach anymore, but unfortunately, we'll probably.
Man, something came up.
We'll be doing the face first.
Saying Tibbs is out, I'd be like this.
It depends on who's here for.
Yeah, careful what you wish for.
Yes.
But it all depends.
Depends on who we get.
Like, Tibbs being out is just half the battle.
Right.
You got to get somebody in here who can actually coach.
If you're going to run these systems that Johnny Bryant is probably instilling with the Knicks, you got to have the right personnel to carry it out. Because you're also messing up a player. And I think when I say you're messing up a player real quick, I think it's affecting RJ Barrett. I don't think RJ Barrett is a good shooter. So RJ Barrett should not be extending his shot. Some guys, need to live in that 20-foot.
He needs a mid-range jumper.
Yes. So that's a problem right now.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been saying him shooting those threes, he's trying too much. Because, you know, Tibbs gave him the green light on that. Again, we talk about coaching. He wanted everybody shooting more threes.
Yeah,
he needs to get in there and be like a DeRozan and get in that paint and shoot that little mid-range.
To me, though, that's on RJ, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. but he's young, so he's going with the flow. That's what they want him to do.
Yeah, but like that's why I said RJ has to develop his.
Isn't it? But ain't it on you to improve?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That's why I said like it's on RJ. Like if RJ doesn't improve his pull-up game, like. Yeah, the free throw is definitely something he has to work on. His three-point is something he has to work on. His finishing at the rim is something he has to work on. His reads is something he has to work on. But the one thing that will change the game for RJ so that he's not so predictable, because if you know, if he's head-faking you at the three-point line, he's going to the basket. And that's the only option he has. Now, if you give yourself another option other than the drive to the basket, I can hit you with a step to the side, sidestep pull-up from midi. Okay, now there's things you can do that, you know, gives you more opportunity to be productive on the floor besides a predictable fake three-pointer and layup at the basket because you're not dunking on nobody.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say that in fairness, RJ may be caught in the crossroads. He got the team that's trying to jack him up. You got an offensive system that allows you to jack him up with no issues. True. And then his peers in the league are all jacking him up because this is today's NBA. Mm-hmm. So in his mind, he's not like, oh, I need to improve. Not improve by getting a mid-range. I need to improve my three-point shooting. Right, this is what I'm saying. He could be mixed up right now.
That's true. Very true. Like coaching can have a lot to do with it.
Right, and, right.
You know, the coach.
You can also be the coach and say, I want y'all jacking up three. RJ, except for you.
Right. You can, but like I said, Tibbs doesn't make those adjustments for some reason. He allows him to continue to go and dig himself a hole. So to be continued, you know what I mean? It's
if you're open, shoot it.
Yeah, and we've seen what he did.
I like the name is RJ.
See, we did to Obi because Obi was open and shooting it. And,
well, he had the green light too. He was letting them joints go.
Air balls too, man. I was playing 2K the other day and Obi actually airballed the three. I'm like, yo, 2K is getting too real. It's getting too real. But listen, man. How about you guys tell the people where they can find you? Tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, Ron, we should talk about our new endeavor coming with NBK Network coming up soon.
So generally, if you're looking for Ron and John, we are still Knicks fans. You can catch us on Monday nights at 9 p.m. for SKF Weekly, or you can catch myself on Saturdays at 11:15 for Know the Ledge. But in the middle of the week, on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m., we have a show called The NBA Report. However, due to some naming conflict and other people trying to steal our stuff, whatever, it is what it is. I ain't talking about it no more. Y'all know. Anyway, we've decided to switch up the flow. We're coming at you with something a little different. It's a different name, a different perspective. It's going to be, it's going to give you a twist in relation to hip hop and sports. I think you'll really enjoy it.
We can name it.
It's called the NBA. It's called the NBA wrap up. So,
okay.
That already lets you know hip hop influence is involved and you're going to see some hip hop in the show.
Yo, so Ron, you know who's really good, who you need to focus on as far as one of the first featured artists? You got to go look at Apollo, man. That boy nice.
Let's go.
I thought
he was going to shameless plug himself, honestly.
Don't like any shit about me. It's Cap. It's Apollo, man. That boy.
Hey, listen. Look, we are looking to bring guests on the show. So if you want to come on the show, spit a hot 8 to 16, and then talk about the Knicks or basketball, whatever it is, you will definitely love to have.
Even better than that, Cap. Let him hear something right now, son.
Not the time and place for that. Not the time and place for that.
Preview.
Always the time and place, Cat.
Spit hot fire, bro. Spit hot fire.
Did you see that joint? He was featured on another show. They had they had one of his songs up there, and they rated it. I didn't hear what they said in the rating, but I saw the clip.
Oh, on
Morning.
The Knicks nightcap. The Morning Brew guys.
One of your joints was on there?
Yeah, they played it out. Actually, we tweeted it the other day. Yeah, they played it.
I gotta check it.
Yeah, man. I'm
It's on the Guard of Knicks. It's on the page, right?
It's on the Guard.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna check it out. But yeah, definitely. You know, I'm sure John and I will both. If you are interested in coming on, we'd love to have you, bro.
Of course. And Dre too. Dre, don't try to duck. Don't duck the heat, Dre. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's an artist himself. I'm sure you know. Look, like,
listen. There's a keyboard right behind him. I was already
exactly.
Like, he already produced.
What you talking about? I ain't got nothing. I just be playing around a little bit, doing a little thing here.
It runs in the family, man. That's the big bro. So he passed the torch. So it definitely is something that we both would be interested in. I'll speak for my brother.
Yeah, Ron, like I'm on all the platforms. If you're on iTunes, all that, Andre Jalil. I do mostly instrumentals though.
Okay.
So you know, every now and again I let it go, but I got the YouTube page. Anything you want to check, Andre Jalil, same way it's spelled here. YouTube, Instagram too. But YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, all of that. So if you interested and you want to see, so you could get to here, you'd be like, all right, so fuck with you. My shit might be back.
Let's do it like this. We got an open invitation to episode 5, right?
Okay.
Ron will send you the date, and then you guys can put jump on your own beat. Even better, a beat that you guys create.
Oh,
you guys, Ramon.
Ooh,
I'm with
you.
There you go, Cat.
Dre, you got
that. Sound like fun.
Dre, you got digging the crates
like this. Like, let me do.
He got plenty. They got plenty. I'm gonna hit up Dre for a beat real quick. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's always how it works. We have a project that we never actually got to finish. It's gonna be called Brotherly Love, but we're trying to work on something for over the summer before the summer's out.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I always wanted to do. We had a song that we did. It would be a performance that we did a long time ago. We never actually finished it, so I don't know how it just never worked out.
Right. That's some of the best times of my life was on the stage performing with this guy.
Because I used to go out perform a lot over the city. So I always used to be like, yo, Josh, you coming with me? Like, we going to perform. You going to get on. So Josh used to get on stage. He got a bunch of reps getting on stage.
Yeah, 19 years old, getting on stage in New York City, man. He really gave me a lot of the experience that I needed to get up there. So,
dope. Well, listen, that's what y'all. If y'all want to revisit it,
that's what we're gonna.
Yeah,
be talking
man.
About.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all could talk about your journey, and if anything, if y'all feel like finishing that song y'all was working on, come on, you could spit 8 bars of that. And be like, oh, you want to hear the rest of it? Boom, boom, boom. This is where you got to go.
You got to go to the iTunes. Don't talk to me.
Let's do that. Let's set that up.
So we're going to square that out, all right, Ron? So episode 5, we'll lock them in.
That's a bet.
Yeah, so to keep that in mind, guys, episode 5, we weekly, so that's probably, you know, first week of September, something like that. So keep that in mind.
If y'all, that's dope, for sure.
Yeah.
We can set up for that. And Dre will be here next month, right before that too. So we might be able to work on something in person too.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, where you got stationed at, Ron? Where you at? I might come up be on the screen with you like this. Yeah, I'm behind Ron. I got my man Ron, aka Cap Capadonna.
I'm in Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, well, we be doing the shows from home, so that's, you know, we kind of stay everybody local from their home, comfort of their own home. Yeah, from everybody comfort of their own home, and you know, it with StreamYard these days and VMixes and all these different applications, everybody's able to do this, the podcast, video shows, you know, from the comfort of their own home. So we're trying to just generate the same sort of. You know, the talk about the NBA is basically what we're going to do on those Thursdays. And then we're going to, you know, influence it through rap. You know what I mean? And because it's hip hop's 50th anniversary, it's no better time than to start that up right now. And because we want to be visionaries in this game. So for us, it's about like adapting to new ideas and incorporating new ideas for the future and seeing how quickly we can grow that platform. But tune in, because August 3rd is going to be our first pilot episode, and we may have a few surprises.
Looking forward to that. So check Still Knicks fans out. And what is the name of the show again, Ron? What's the name of the show going to be?
It's the NBA Wrap-Up.
The NBA Wrap-Up.
Yeah, wrapped up. Don't get
on
wrapped.
The NBK Network.
NBK Network. Shout
nothing
out to
but Knicks.
Shout out to Nothing But Knicks, NBK fam in the building. Of course, that's actually where we met Ron.
Shout out Sim.
At the shout out Sim. We met Ron at the season, the home opener 2 years ago, I think it was, 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, when we won in triple overtime. And who was the star of that show? Evan Fournier.
Evan Fournier.
Wow. And that was the year. That was the year. Every single time that he played Boston, he went off. Every single time.
Right.
Oh, whenever he played Boston, put Evan. Like, yo, nah, Evan, you good. But when we playing Boston, Evan, get out here, man.
Yeah, man. So shout out to Nothing But Knicks team, the Nothing But Knicks fam, Sim, and everybody over there, Fulio, everybody, man. Shout out to y'all. So, as we always say, till next time, man, and thank you guys for tuning in. If you're here in the chat, please do me a favor, hit the like button and subscribe. Hit that bell so you're notified when we go live. And thank you guys all for joining us once again. Dre, I know you're always busy, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully things change soon when it comes to the schedule. You can work on something more often, of course, like that.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? And Joe, of course, I'm going to see you probably sometime this week. We're going to work on something again. But everybody else, y'all have a good one. When we find something else to talk about, we'll be back again. Until next time, y'all have a good one, y'all. Peace.